Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That's you? Oh, right! It's the Kevin Hirsch Show!
Yes, we've taken over.
Oh, this is the best!
Oh, man. Steve
au contraire, mon frère.
He's there.
Game over.
I set that up pretty well. I'm just sitting here listening to you, just feeling like, you know... I mean, you can go to Abington Heights now.
What, did Ham call and you had to take the call?
No, I was just sitting here waiting to see what you would do. Literally. And then I was going to say, au contraire, mon frère. And that's exactly what I said.
Great. Super.
Boy, Steve, I just want to tell you, you know, the comments in the last segment with Birdsong, it is an absolute puzzlement of why the Bucknell student body is not showing up, at least during regular season games, to see this once-in-a-lifetime team that's been assembled by Dave Paulson. And my only solution is lock the doors on the library at about 6:15, maybe. But it's,
I mean, guys like Kevin and I never went anyway. So, I mean,
well,
no, lie what?
I mean, guy like you, Buhner, you were in there all the time.
I was in there quite often.
You don't ascend to where you do. I went into broadcasting so I wouldn't have to go in there. Okay.
But I think that was really perceptive because the only time they had a big crowd was the Lehigh game, which was a great atmosphere. And it was a TV game.
And it's also a rivalry, okay?
Yeah, I mean, and absolutely.
There's a rivalry to it and so forth. I mean, you know, I understand that sometimes there isn't quite the rivalry with the Holy Cross or a Navy.
Yeah, Holy Cross, Navy.
You're in the same conference, yeah.
The Lehigh is used to be Holy Cross back in its day.
That's what I was thinking. Holy Cross used to be.
With Ralph Willard.
Yeah, I was going to say Ralph Willard was there, and they were so competitive, and it was a fierce thing. It was Pat Flannery and Ralph Willard matching wits as two great coaches. And it was a chess match with great players, and that was a rivalry both schools have. But that obviously has fallen by the wayside in the last 5-6 years.
Dave in Sunbury. Welcome, Dave.
Hello?
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Steve. Well, I got a quick question, Steve, and then you'll give me the answer, and then I'll start laughing. Are you ready for this? Are you going to wait for Kevin to go up to Bucknell and get that Bucky Bison uniform that he can take it up to the Lackawanna County Junior College for the game?
What bothers me is that he may drive up there with it on.
Well,
that's a message from the state police and the ad council.
Well, I'm fearful for my cousin then.
Now, actually, he might be driving, so we'll be all right.
Okay.
Oh, good. Then your odds of getting there just increased. You're not exactly Mr. Garmin over here.
Listen, I told you I should have made a left turn at Albuquerque.
Well, the Bugs Bunny thing, huh?
Well, he calls me Ram McNally because I can find virtually anything. So.
Yeah, well, he sounds like he's running on the cartoon with Bugs Bunny in there.
There's some moments I think that's the case.
Yeah. So. Anything else, Dave?
No, just tell
Thank
Kevin
you,
any
Dave.
Way you can get there. Just do a good job.
I will do my best.
I can guarantee you, Dave, he will do a good job. I can guarantee that.
You know, Kevin, I'll give you the $12 to get in tonight so you don't wear the Bucky costume.
I want that's more attention than I would get if I bought a ticket to get in. So I actually want to do I would actually want to do that.
Steve, the problem Kevin would have wearing the Bucky costume, because Bucky gives out pizza, is that, Kevin, if you were Bucky, you'd actually have to give away the pizza.
No. See, that's why I want to be Bucky, so I don't have to give away the pizza.
Here's the reason I want him to be Bucky the Bison. I want to do a before and after picture and then have people pick out which is which. All right. Our number is 1-800. 795-9565.
Bucky's a good looking man. I'll tell you.
Hey, Steve.
Okay.
I have an idea to spark call-ins at some point. It doesn't have to be today, but to play a game called Stump Us with the Mascot. If they can, you know, people call in, name a school, and we have to figure out who the mascot is.
Sure.
But it has to be a bona fide team that, you know, is somewhat well-known. Can't be a, you know, a junior high team in Spokane, Washington, or anything like that. But
the nickname game.
Yeah, the nickname game. We'll call it the nickname game.
Sure. I tried that with Steve. I lost pathetically, actually. It was really bad.
So
our number is 1-800-795-9565. Yeah, sure. I think that's a lot of fun. I think that's a lot of fun to do.
And tomorrow, a big event down in Hershey, Steve, the first round of the PIAA wrestling tournament. We have a busload, and I mean a proverbial busload, of local wrestlers, many of whom have a lot of gold and silver and bronze around their necks from prior tournaments heading down there. I think District 4, this part of central Pennsylvania, is going to come back on Saturday with a lot more medals than they've had in previous years. And every year District 4 seems to lead the tournament. So that's going to be a big thing. Two defending state champions, Ryan Solomon, who is just nothing short of sensational at 195, and Nasir Mironenko at the heavyweight position. Both have to defend, but they look in pretty good shape to do that. Brandon Smith, the Penn State run-on in football, will terminate his fine four-season career. He was fifth last year. I think he can make the top spot. And so Zane Rutherford from Benton, Penn State bound. So they're right there. You've got four champions in four of the 14 weight classes, potentially.
And that's at the Giants Center. They'll do a great job of hosting it. 10,500 seats in there, so much more room than the old Hershey Park Arena when they did this. So we're looking forward to that coming up. Shikellamy-Abington Heights coming up tomorrow night at Lackawanna. Is it Lackawanna Junior College or the Community College?
Well, Lackawanna College is what they call it now.
Yeah, they changed the name from Lackawanna Junior College.
Do you know who went to school there?
A lot of people, but nobody comes to mind right away.
That's in the National Football League?
Is he the kid who went to Miami?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes, I'm blocking on his name, but he
don't know.
Did 2 years, was sensational, went down to the University of Miami, was, I think, a first-team All-American. And
he was.
Yep, and now in the NFL. And I think
he's with the Baltimore Ravens, Bryant McKinney.
That's it.
Bryant McKinney went to school there. So
was he not a Penn State potential recruit? And
they talked to him, but again, you know, he went to junior college because he knew he had to get his grades up, and then in the end, he went to Miami. It worked out fine. Now he was the one involved in the infamous conversation with
the sports.
Butch Davis. Butch Davis convinced McKinney to come back for his senior year because he looked at him and said, look, he says, come back for your senior year. We can win a national championship together. So McKinney, there's a deadline, gets to the deadline, opts to stay in college. 3 days after the deadline, Butch Davis took the Browns job.
Okay. Loyalty and dedication.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Steve.
1-800-795-9565. I want to get the phone number there. 1-800-795-9565. And we bring in Bucky the Bison.
Well, what I was going to say is that game, that basketball game on Friday night, then on Saturday, we'll have the AA finals. Steve Williams will call the AA finals an airtime of 1:30 on WKOK and WKOK.com. And like Bob said, I think we're going to see a lot of District 4 wrestlers there.
One other local team that's playing in the women's side or girls' side in high school, the Danville Lady Ironmen, are moving on as district champions. They play Honesdale from the northeastern corner of Pennsylvania up in Marywood College, I believe, Saturday at 7 o'clock. Both teams are about 24-3, so that ought to be a real good game. The Lady Ironmen are just really surprised everybody, and so they're doing well.
Coach Moser does a great job there.
Let me go back on Lackawanna College. I was just thinking about this. They were incredible in basketball. They have a they had a coach by the name of Tommy Dempsey, who started there.
I know Tommy.
Yeah.
The last time I talked to Tommy, he was at Ryder at the time.
Well, guess where he is now? Is that
Tommy is...
I want to see if he gets it right.
I raised my hand because I know.
Okay.
And he has a Penn State assistant coach, a Penn State player as an assistant coach.
Yeah. I wanted to say Seton Hall, but
no,
probably not.
He is at SUNY Binghamton.
Okay.
Which was one of the premier basketball schools in the whole New York State, you know, sort of south of
right.
Syracuse, obviously.
Yeah, he replaced Mark Macon, who got fired after they went
0-96. And Mark Macon, there was a major scandal at Binghamton having to do with recruiting players with differing academic standards than, say, everybody else. They fired the president, the provost, the athletic director, and the basketball coach, brought in Mark Macon. He did not do well. Mm-hmm. And now Dempsey left Ryder, and they were in the national championship at Lackawanna College. He is a Williamsport/Scranton guy.
Yeah. I remember talking to Tommy about that. I had a long talk with him down in Orlando back in 2007.
And his assistant coach, Ben Luber, over the Nittany Lion.
Oh, yeah. We're familiar with Benny Buckets.
Yeah. So they are really had a pretty terrible year at Binghamton, but apparently there's all kinds of talent coming in that he's been able to recruit. And Bucknell played them a number of years on the regular schedule.
Yeah, I think the last time was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I actually did that game. I was lucky enough to see that one.
Yeah, so anyway, just a little thing from Lackawanna College. They really, when Dempsey started his coaching career at that level, his record is like 55-4 at Lackawanna College.
Mm-hmm.
Throw that in only because I know it. I don't know why I know it.
Yeah, no, but he did a good job at Ryder. So
yes,
okay. So he's in America East. You know, it didn't help. Like for example, Dylan Talley transferred out of Binghamton, and he went to Nebraska and had a pretty good year at Nebraska this year. He was an America East Rookie of the Year, in fact.
Yeah,
they lost him. So we got that. Now don't forget when Penn State plays Wisconsin Sunday, Bo is back. That's going to be noon, but it's noon daylight savings time Monday, on Sunday, I mean. Okay, we jump the clocks ahead an hour after Saturday night.
This gets very confusing for Kevin.
No, I just stay up till 2 a.m. and move it ahead to 3. That way I know I'm right.
Oh, it's just...
Now, is Penn State on break?
Penn State's on break right now. What I'm waiting to see... in the local paper is Bucky Bison mascot outfit missing.
List of suspect narrowed to one.
One.
Head found with pizza stains near mouth.
Oh, that's just cruel. I had to dry clean that thing for a month.
Hey, Steve, a lot of people here, huge fans of the Nittany Lion wrestling team, and they're off to the Big Tens very soon.
You know what? Let me see something about the Big Tens. The Big Tens, it's prestigious to win it, but you know what? You get virtually everybody through the NCAAs anyway.
I was reading last night, they have 72 spots in the NCAA already secured.
I mean, 72 spots. I mean, they get almost everybody in.
Yeah, it's the 132-pounder from Northwestern who's probably the only guy not going on to the NCAA when you figure it, you know, there's 10 weight classes and 72 spots. So
that's because he forfeited.
Yeah, he came up lame in the during the weigh-ins or something, but that's about it who doesn't go.
I mean, I'm not putting down the tournament.
It's an awesome tournament.
I mean, it's a great tournament. It really gets you ready for the NCAAs. I got it, okay? But you sit there and, like, everybody's through. It's like...
Yeah. It's a funny thing. You know, there was an article I was reading about the Penn State approach to both the NCAA and the Big Ten tournament, which is to taper off and sort of heal your wounds and get your conditioning really back up again, because you've gone through a brutal dual meet schedule, although Penn State seemed to walk through most of it. But and meanwhile, some of the other big schools were at the national dual meet tournament, Minnesota, Iowa going head-to-head, butting heads, and et cetera.
Well, Cale doesn't like going to that tournament, and the reason he doesn't like going to that tournament is that he said, why should our wrestlers have to face the same group of wrestlers three consecutive weekends? He said that's the part that he's not, or, you know, three out of 4 weekends, whatever.
Yes.
And he said, why should they have to do that? Now, I believe Penn State is committed to be in the duels next year.
They are. That was announced in an article in the news yesterday. On the other hand, I think his strategy makes sense, because wrestling is a really long season. No doubt about it. And you've now been cutting weight pretty hard for many of these kids for the better part of 4 to 5 months.
Right.
And now it's the end of the season. You've got basically 2 weeks left. And, you know, the black eyes and the scratches and the bumps and the bruises do need a little bit of healing time. And I actually think that when I thought about it, I thought, you know, Sanderson's on to something, but he has a lot of clues about wrestling when it comes to things like that.
Oh, he knows.
Yeah, he does know.
Yeah. Buhner, Bucky the Bison, and I will be back in a few moments. You could have called them and picked up a press pass to go to the thing tonight. You didn't have to sneak in as the mascot.
Well, you know, sometimes you like to see the game from a different point of view.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy, with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Oh, I'm leaving on a jet plane. Maybe not tonight. Got pushed back again. We're back to 8 o'clock now.
You'll be leaving tomorrow pretty soon.
See, I don't understand why they don't come up, pick up Penn State, fly them to Chicago, then go back and get the Penguins and take them to Philadelphia. Because that's the delay. The delay is getting the Penguins to Philadelphia. There's no delay coming in here. There's nothing here. So I don't understand why they don't look at them and say, hey, why don't you come and get like us first and then drop it, and then you go to Pittsburgh after that and then pick up the Penguins. I mean, I want to, you know, Malkin and Crosby and those guys, you know, what the heck? I wonder whose seat I get.
Okay, that's slightly creepy.
No, we all do. Whatever. But I'm creepy. Just saying. No, doing this show is creepy.
Why don't the Penguins come to State College and pick you guys up?
You want to dress like a wild buffalo and go to a game? You're telling me that's creepy?
Not a buffalo, a bison.
Yeah, tell the Indians. That's what we'll do. Bob and I will dress up. We'll go in there and shoot arrows at you.
Chasing Bucky off the court.
And the security's like, yeah, let him do it. It's her.
Talk about halftime entertainment. Good quality family fun.
I think that'd be a draw to get the students in there.
I'll do my part.
But that's tonight. They play Navy tonight, quarterfinals, Patriot League tournament. They're 3 wins away. Bucknell is from the NCAAs. This is step number... Well, really, this is, for them in the season, this is going to be step number 3. because they played the non-conference. They played the conference. That's steps one and two. Now steps three, four, and five are coming up tonight. Should they win then Saturday, then Wednesday next week.
Steve, now you know Ed DeCellis frontwards and backwards. What do you think he will do tonight, having just played the Bison on Saturday, you know, down in Navy and losing by 16? What do you do different, or what do you do the same? Because he's obviously coming up here to compete, and he's obviously coming, and his Navy midshipmen are coming to win. What do you do?
Ed DeCellis is an extremely, extremely well-prepared professional coach. He has a great ability to dissect an opponent and get them off balance with what he does. The one thing he can't control, though, okay, they'll give Mike Muscala a lot of different looks and so forth, and he has a very smart team. The one part he can't control is shooting. Can't control how well you shoot it. And if they don't shoot it well, then they're not going to have much of a chance. Now, if they shoot it well, combine that with his preparation, then they become a very, very, very tough out. Ed's as well prepared as any coach I've ever seen. Final half hour of the show with Buhner and Bucky.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, so what's the question online?
The Dartmouth mascot.
They used to be the Indians, and they've been called the Big Green for years.
Yes.
But they have two mascots. One is the Dartmouth Moose, and the other one's Keggy the Keg.
Keggy the Keg. Is it really what
you
I'm thinking?
Asked. It's unofficial Keggy the Keg.
Yeah, Dartmouth Moose and Keggy the Keg. Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I remember the
Moose. The Big Green is their nickname.
Yeah. And I think Keggy shows up at a lot of the Dartmouth ice hockey matches, as I recall.
I think Keggy shows up at every event up there.
Yeah. Okay. I would think so.
Let's be honest about it. Yeah. All right. But yes, that's my understanding. That is the unofficial mascot, the Moose, the Dartmouth Moose, and Keggy the Keg are the unofficial mascots of the Dartmouth Big Green. It used to be the Indians many years ago.
The Big Green just honestly doesn't cut it. Same with Cornell the Big Red. Cut me a break. Come on, the Big Red.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I remember Marquette. I mean, Marquette's the Golden Eagles now. It used to be the Marquette Warriors.
The Warriors, yes.
Now, at Illinois, they can't have their mascot, Chief. Okay, they can't. The NCAA told them, if you keep Chief as your mascot, then you're not going to the NCAA tournament.
Why is that? Here, and this brings up a whole other, opens a whole other can of worms
does.
But my question is, why is it that one can and one can't? What's the difference, according to the NCAA?
Well, Florida
State. One can,
State.
One can't. What do you mean?
Well, Florida State.
I believe the Seminole Indian tribe is.
They're okay with it? Is that the difference?
I think that's the big difference. I think the Seminole Indian tribe considers it to be honor.
They do. And there was a huge fight in North Dakota, the Fighting Sioux.
Right.
Right.
And what happened is there are actually two branches of the Sioux tribe. One supported keeping the name.
And the other one said no.
And the legislature passed a law saying, it is the Fighting Sioux. That is the official mascot of the University of North Dakota. And the NCAA said, sorry. And you don't want to go to any tournaments, et cetera. Yeah, keep the name, but you're never going anywhere. And they're very competitive in some sports in the 1AA area. And so they changed the name.
So it's okay for the Chippewas, too?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Indiana.
But Eastern Michigan used to be the Hurons, and they changed the Eagles, Golden Eagles as well.
Yeah, but couldn't they say they were named after the lake?
Well, the lake was named after the Indians.
I realize that.
What do you think?
I realize that.
Named after Bucky.
I realize that.
Well, Indiana, PA, IUP as it's known, they were, for many years, the Big Indians. and they had to change their name. The NCAA said, no more tournaments for you, and ended up being the Crimson Hawks.
So if you're named after a tribe in this mm-hmm. example, because Utah would be another one, the Utes, mm-hmm. it's okay. But if you're named after a we'll call it slang term, it's not right. Okay.
Well, there are two, that, for example, that I think it was absolutely justified that changed. St. John's and UMass. They were both the Redmen, okay? UMass changed the Minutemen, and St. John's the Red Storm. I think there's, by anybody's definition, I think Redmen is derogatory.
And
by anybody's definition. So they changed, and I think they had to change. Now, here comes the big one.
Yes.
Should the Washington Redskins change?
And their owner has said unequivocally no.
Right. Now, this goes back to when they were the Boston Redskins. Okay. Yeah. So that being, you know, they inherited the name in Washington when they moved in the 30s.
So Alcorn State, who are the Braves, had an issue with that, but the Atlanta Braves didn't.
And that tomahawk chop.
Yeah, I'm only saying I don't understand the consistency. I realize one's Major League Baseball, one's college sports, but I just don't get it. I mean, I don't. Why is it okay one way but not another?
Now, to me, I've always looked at it this way. Okay, you do not select your school nickname or your mascot to be derogatory. It's supposed to be a place of honor.
You would think
that you're proud of it and that you rally around it. So that's why I've always had a little bit of trouble with, like, the NCAA setting. When you're named after whatever, it's supposed to be honorable, that people rally around it and they're proud of it.
Isn't Nittany Native American?
Yeah, Princess Nittany, the Indian princess, which Mount Nittany is named for, and the Nittany Lions, yeah. So.
And Shikellamy's named after an Indian chief right here in the valley.
Well, yeah, right. The school's named after it, absolutely.
The Munsee Indians, the Shamokin Indians, were all, right. They were named after tribes. Shippensburg University, they were the Red Raiders with an Indian motif, if you will, mascot.
Lords Regional still,
yeah,
too.
But the Shippensburg are now the Raiders, and so they have a pirate ship, so they're now demeaning pirates. But I guess that's okay.
But don't call them Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So lots of nicknames.
I'm not making fun of people that are offended by this. Let's get that clear. I just don't understand why there isn't some sort of a common thought behind it. Why is it okay one place and not okay another?
That's I think what if I'm you asking. Get the permission of the local indigenous Indian tribe,
mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a good word,
then that becomes appropriate. If they
object or have problems with it, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
And I know in the case of the Hurons for Eastern Michigan, they did.
And I think it somehow relates as to how the mascot and the logos that go with it, is it a caricature or is it a representative of some brave, noble person?
Now, those Cleveland Indians, Chief Wahoo is not necessarily the best-looking character, I'll be honest.
That's another one that's always been subject to controversy, just like the Washington team, Redskins.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. What do you do with the Redskins? Because, look, I just talked about Redmond, for example, at St. John's and UMass. They changed that, and I think they had to. Ken in Milton will solve all problems. Ken, we bow to you.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call. Kevin, you just said something that you kind of made me want to allude to. You said, why is it okay for some and not for others? Well, I don't want to really talk about school nicknames right now.
Okay.
But I would like to play devil's advocate on a subject you guys were talking about yesterday, and I kind of caught it on the way home from work. The parochial private schools against public schools and PIAA playoff situations. And I wanted to lay this out because I've had some interesting takes on this. Again, nothing derogatory towards you, but I would like to lay out a different set of, kind of a different perspective.
No, please, go ahead.
Kevin's used to it.
Now,
in fact, you just went right into this wheelhouse of life.
Yeah, this could be good. We'll see how we spin out of it. But, you know, I've been listening to this for a long time, and I've seen instances where local teams have run into we'll call it parochial schools. And I don't know that I necessarily feed into that so much anymore. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to lay out an example right now. Bethlehem Catholic, Class AA in wrestling. Everybody's barking and squawking down in the Lehigh Valley and even across the state how it's an all-star team. It's a Lehigh Valley all-star team. Wrestling was dead in the water 7-8 years ago at Bethlehem Catholic. Well, you know who's squawking about it? The Northamptons and the Nazareths and the Liberties, who were doing the same thing 10, 12, 15 years ago, and now they're not getting those kids. Now they're losing those kids. My point is this. If you know enough examples, it's being done by public schools just as much as it is private schools. The only reason we don't see it in the public schools is because it's against the rules there, and it's not against the rules for the Catholic schools to do it. Again, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Sure.
In football, when you take a look in the two prime examples I can think of since the state football playoffs began in the late 80s are Erie Cathedral Prep and Allentown Central Catholic. Both have had extensive success at the statewide level, and I'm talking about state championships. The Catholic schools have not dominated the state championships in football. Central Bucks, West Allegheny, Thomas Jefferson, Berwick, Central Columbia, Mount Carmel. Seals Grove's got one. Strathaven, Manheim Central. None of those are parochial schools. I've heard the built-in excuse forever, and again, I'm not steering this towards you. I'm just playing devil's advocate. The minute that a public school team runs into a private school, well, what are you going to do? They have the open rule. They can recruit. Well, guess what? Benton's doing it in wrestling. Williamsport's been doing it not so much recently, but they were doing it in basketball for years before anybody thought Berwick was doing it in football. It's going on in the public schools, too. Did you know the District 11 wrestling website used to have a link that openly listed the transfers?
Yeah.
They openly listed the transfers from one school to another.
But Ken, let me just jump in real quick, and I agree with you. I think it has been – we've all heard the rumors in the 80s especially about Berwick and finding a job at Wise Potato Chip Plant in Berwick so that the parents could move to the district. We all heard those rumors, and I'm gonna emphasize the word rumors, all right? But
yes.
To say that it hasn't been that there hasn't been recruiting done by private or by public schools, that's naive, and I would definitely not say that. However, it is not regulated as far as how a private school could recruit. That's the difference I'm saying. That's the difference. Whereas you literally, it is a violation of the PIAA if you get caught for recruiting at a public school. It's not a violation to go and find a player at a public school and entice him to come to a private school. That's where the playing field isn't even. And I think that goes for all sports. And I understand what you're saying about football, but I'll give you another example. Is Allentown Central Catholic in football is in the playoffs almost every year. And there's a reason for it. They're a good football program. They have it going, but they also have an opportunity to draw from a bigger area than a public school does.
What a bitter guy.
This is something we may be able to agree to disagree on. And I'm fine with that. And no, that's okay. We're allowed to do that. I remember talking to a gentleman, and I was so excited for Lewisburg a few years ago when they advanced very deep into the playoffs, and they ran into West Catholic out of Philadelphia. And I'm talking to a man about the game. He said, yeah, Lewisburg play hard, but what are you going to do against a team that has kids from seven different states? I said, they don't have kids from seven different states. He said, yes, they do. We were talking to people. I said, they are out of the Philadelphia Catholic School League, which has 13 schools. They are not drawing all the football talent in the West Catholic for simply, it gets amplified and I think sometimes over-exaggerated. Now, I will agree with you. When you watch, especially in girls, when you watch the PIAA State Basketball Championships, you will see a lot of private schools, especially in the lower classifications. I just think that it goes on just as much in public schools in the larger areas where it's maybe more beneficial. I don't think until the PIAA is able to regulate what happens among the public schools, they're never going to be able to make standards for the private schools, and thus I don't think it's fair for them to be separated. I'm going to go ahead and hang up because I think my phone's dying anyway. You guys have yourself a great day.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. Appreciate it. The Kevin Hur Rant of the Day, moments away on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hilscher's General Store powers our hotline that you just heard Ken on at 1-800-795-9565. 7 miles south of Salem's Grove in 15. Yeah, cold weather. The boots are in there. Oh, and by the way, it's also getting to that time of the year. You have to start thinking about planning the coming in. And, of course, you're talking about the bakery. Love the bakery at Hilscher's. Oh, the bakery's so good. The deli. And, of course, the restaurant. They also have food. You name it as well. It's just a Hilscher's General Store. One stop does it all. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. The Kevin Hur Rant of the Day. Buhner, strap yourself in for this one.
I am tight and tied down on this one.
All right. This one has to do with my good friend, Mike Wallace.
We're out of time. All right, so that adds us to the top of the hour. Buhner, thanks for being with us.
No. No, I'm looking at the clock. I'm still good.
Play the theme from 60 Minutes.
Listen, Mike, here's my suggestion to
that
you.
That story and more tonight on 60 Minutes.
Are you done?
I'm Steve Croft. I'm Willie Safer.
You know, I know in my contract it says I got a 3-minute window, but I think it's getting smaller.
Kevin is Leslie Stahl. Buhner is Scott Pelley.
Bucky,
that story and more tonight
Leslie
on
Stahl.
60 Minutes. So, okay, all right. Now, Mike Wallace, who's the number one free agent on the board in the National Football League, former property of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, somebody's got to explain to me that, because right now, every time he gets a call, well, actually, he'd love to be able to answer the phone to the teams that are calling him right now to negotiate a contract, but he keeps dropping the phone. That's the big problem. Why is he the number one player right now, especially wide receiver? I don't get it. But you know what? The Steelers can let him go. It's no big deal. You got Brown, Sanders, Cotry, Burris. All these guys can come back next year if you want them to.
Well, yes, Steve.
Bob, that's it. I'm cutting your mics.
Bob, how bitter does he seem right now? I mean, how bitter.
Well, I think he got the news that they weren't letting him put on the bison outfit.
And it continues.
And you know what? There's two guys as well that I think deserve a shot. Gilruth, they just signed to a practice squad contract. I'd like to see him get an opportunity. And, oh, yeah, there's a young man that used to be from Penn State that's about 6'5", that was a Steeler at the end of the year last year on the practice squad, now making league minimum at about $405,000. That's Derek Moy. You know what? I think somewhere along there they can develop a downfield replacement for Mike Wallace. Not a big loss. See ya. Thanks for playing. And if you would have showed up last year on time, maybe you would have had a better year. Next.
I feel so much better now.
Now that, whether you agree with it or not, that's a rant.
It is a rant. Yes. It's more
than
next.
Okay, for those of you over there at the Bucknell Library that should tonight be at the basketball game instead, right? That is the definition of a rant.
Yeah,
all right.
You can go to Webster's dictionary and you see a picture of Kevin under the word rant.
I mean, Peter Finch emerged tonight.
I mean, he's the best wide receiver on the market? Really?
Because of pure speed, that's why.
Yeah.
Listen, because you can't catch a cold.
Well, he doesn't drop passes. It's just he's not very precise when he runs routes, and he's not a guy that likes going over the middle a lot.
He dropped four passes in a bed, and all of them were game-changing situations.
Terrell Owens dropped 14 one year, kept screaming, "Give me the ball." I mean, he dropped
I'm not ready to pay him either.
He led the league with 14 drops the year that he was going nuts down at Dallas. 14 drops. All right, now look.
When I'm happier to see Plaxico Burress, there's a problem, okay?
Steve,
he is so highly sought after is because of the pure speed and his ability to stretch the field.
Yeah. Steve, can I ask about Derek Moy? What do you think about
it? He does not stretch the field. Derek Moy in the NFL is going to be a possession receiver. That's what he'll be in the NFL. He'll be a possession receiver, a chain mover, which is really, really important. You need to have more chain movers in the NFL. With his size, his route running ability, he has to be a little more precise when he runs routes because he had a tendency to round off some of his routes here at Penn State. You can't round them off because you become much easier to cover when you round off. So he needs to be more precise when he does. But he has good hands. He can be sneaky fast because, you know, I remember him beating Patrick Peterson Capital One Bowl for a touchdown when Penn State beat LSU. He had a big play in that, and beat Peterson one-on-one.
Wasn't the knock on him, though, Steve, that at 6'5", he was a little bit small overall size-wise, arm-wise and that, and that he had trouble fighting off like an NFL man-to-man?
A jam. I mean, he has trouble fighting off a jam at the line of scrimmage, but if you put him in a slot spot
right. And
move him a little bit and get him in motion, you get away from the jam. You become and you're a possession receiver at that point anyway. That slot receiver usually is a possession guy, and you want somebody that's going to be able to go out, make a catch for you, and be a big target to get you first downs. He can do that. That's going to be his calling card in the NFL. He will not be able to stretch the field.
But I think you even said this. The breakaway speed, though, it's what he does after the catch, though, I think.
Well, he's a long strider. He's a long strider. I mean, there's no question. He eats up a lot of ground when he runs. That's why it was always Terrell Pryor's biggest plus. What made Pryor fast is that he not only was fast in terms of his foot speed, but he also had long strides where he ate up a lot of ground. It looked like he was gliding.
Yes.
And nobody would catch him.
Gliding being the operative word for Pryor and Moy, I thought. He just seemed to have like that gait that didn't look like he was fast, but he was beyond people.
Yeah, and I mean, and Moy can be a good receiver in the NFL, but he's going to be a good receiver in the NFL as a possession guy and a sure-handed guy instead of a guy like Mike Wallace that's going to stretch the field because he's going to run an actual 4.25, 4.3, whatever.
And, you know, Steve, the next time we talk with our friends from Pittsburgh, definitely have to ask him how Heath Miller's doing right now.
Right, we'll get an update on Heath Miller. Although I think that was a bad injury. I think
I mean, he's a big loss for the Steelers.
I cannot picture him playing in 2013.
Ugh, that's sad.
I cringed when that happened. That was an ouch.
There's only one Adrian Peterson, and you can raise your eyebrows over that. We're now in an era where we're supposed to question everything. Well, what a way to finish with a flourish. With a bitter, hate-laced rant.
Bye, Mikey.
Wow.
See ya.
Bucknell tonight.
Bucknell Navy tonight. Be there. Aloha.
Actually, that might be where you end up today, the way the flight pattern sounds.
It's fine with me. It's warm there.